Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of the Benson Grove Baptist Hour. On behalf of Pastor Billy Cashwell and all of your friends at Benson Grove, let me welcome you to a Spirit-filled hour of singing and preaching from the Word of God. We invite you to tune in every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. right here on WCKB. You can contact us at 919-894-4120. We would love to hear from you and to know that you're listening. Now let's join the broadcast from Benson Grove.
Amen. You may be seated. Choir's going to come and sing.
Joe Barry, what a blessing. Amen. I am sure glad Brother Randy and Miss Mary, they have been used of God mightily here and across the country. But last week they had some exposure to COVID. They both had COVID and their antibodies are way high, but they want to just be careful. So they were tested and the test was delayed getting back. They drove just about all night to get here, but they got here sometime around midnight, I think. So I know they're tired. And so this morning, Randy's going to preach for us. I know God's going to touch him. And then they'll have their stuff set up. They'll sing some the rest of the week. But I am excited about having Brother Randy and Miss Mary Perry back. Aren't you? Amen. Welcome with me, Brother Randy Perry, this morning as he comes to preach for us. Amen.
Legend, my buddy.
God bless you.
That's better. Well, good morning. I pray that you're doing good. It's good to be here. Oh, by the way, our test was negative. Amen. Well, no, you didn't tell that part. I'm positive it was negative. Amen. But We had a wonderful meeting in Alabama, had some folks saved, but we were in general contact somewhat, and so we just want to be safe and make sure all you folks stayed safe. We wouldn't want nobody to get COVID because of us, and I don't want nobody to get COVID, period. Amen. And I told somebody the other day, I said, if they'd put me on one of those bombers and put a bomb, fly us across China, I'd kick it out the door. But anyhow, I know you say, you're a preacher and you say that. Amen. It came from China. Amen. That's what our president said. Amen. That's Trump, by the way. Amen. And hey, how many of you got a bulletin? Amen. I love these bulletins. And you ever notice sometimes there's typos in a bulletin? You ever notice that? And we started in evangelism, I did, in 1994. And so I've been saving church bulletins for a long time. And it's amazing. Last week we was in Alabama. They not only had typos in the bulletin, but they sung every night. Of course, this Southern Baptist church had big multimedia screens. And even in the multimedia screens in the music they was doing, they had type errors in them. And we was in Alabama, and they was singing When the Roll Is Called Up Yonder, and they said, Roll Tide. And that ain't in there. Amen. And so, but hey, I jotted down a few of the little blunders that I've found in some church bulletins down through the years. Can I share a couple of them with you this morning? That'd be all right. Listen to this. Next Thursday, there will be tryouts for our choir. They need all the help they can get. That was in there. A soup bean supper will be held on Tuesday evening in the church fellowship hall. There will be music that will follow. It was in there. I'm telling you, it was in a church bulletin. And can I just share just one more and then I'll preach? I promise I will. Potluck supper this Sunday evening at 5 p.m. You can tell all these were Baptist bulletins, can't you? They've got food included in them. Potluck supper Sunday evening at 5 p.m. There will be prayer and medication that will follow. I got two pages of them. You just come on back tonight and I'll share some more of them with you. Amen. And I love to laugh. Anybody here love to laugh? Amen. The Bible said a merry heart doeth good like what? Medicine. Hadn't you seen some folks that needed some medicine? Amen. And I mean, even in the time that we're living in right now, I mean, boy, I'm telling you, laughter is a wonderful thing. Amen. And I'm so delighted that I can laugh. I'm glad God's got a sense of humor. How about you? Amen. How many of you believe God's got a sense of humor? Now, if you don't believe that, look over at the person sitting next to you. Just smile. Don't say nothing. We're trying to have church, not a knockdown drag out. All right. It's good to be here. And listen, it's been 2 years since we were here. And somebody told me, got me for church. And they said, man, you've had problems up one side and down the other at you, Brother Randy. I said, well, I have. But truth is, I don't know who hasn't. And most of us have been touched by problems and trouble. Amen. But aren't you glad we still got a God that knows all about our problems and knows all about our troubles? Amen. And so I don't know about you, but if you have your Bible today, if you take it and turn with us over to Psalms chapter 85 is where we'll take our reading from. Psalms, the 85th chapter. I want to talk to you about something today that I believe is very needful in our church age that we're in right now. I thought about this, you know, when COVID first came out, they shut all the churches down, didn't deem them to be essential to start with. But the beer joint was, liquor store, and Walmart was, Home Depot was, and people was going to them, and they still going to them. Say amen. And I thought about this passage of Scripture, and looking back over this time, thankfully the president went back and deemed the church essential and said, it's any time we need prayer, it's now. And so they opened the churches back up. However, people that were attending the church before it shut down, after it shut down and then reopened, only 60% of the congregations returned back to church. Some were fearful, but how many of you know fear is also the negative that is developed in the devil's dark room? Because if he can get you to be fearful, the next thing he'll do is convince you to doubt whether God can keep you safe or not. And so some didn't come back because of fear. But here's the statistic that Southern Baptist put out, so if it's wrong, they messed it up. They said after a year, they did a survey after the churches were opened back up, and 23% of the 40% that were missing from the church when they reopened said that they probably never would return back to the local church. That they had found an alternative way of worship. Now, I want to tell you, I thank God for the websites. I thank God for streaming. I thank God for FaceTime. I thank God for all the social media outlets that we are afforded in order to use and promote the gospel. But I want to tell you something today, and it may hair lip a bunch of you, but I'm good at that anyway. Dear friend, hey, it doesn't take the place of the local church. We need each other, and we need church. Amen? And you say, well, what's that got to do with the price of eggs in China? It's got a lot to do with revival. How many of you would agree we need revival in this time that we live in right now? Not long ago, I was in Florida preaching in a meeting, and the music director got up on the last night, and he said, well, I've got a confession. He says, you know, he said, I really was a little upset when they booked this revival because I didn't think we needed revival, and I know I didn't need it. And I want to tell you, when you get to the place to where you are so bold and bracing to where you say, I don't need revival, then that's exactly when you need revival. Amen? And we all could stand a good dose of revival. The psalmist said this, Lord, everybody say master. Look over at your neighbor and said, he's still in charge. Thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people, and thou hast covered all their sin. Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from thy fierceness of thine anger. Look at verse 4. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger towards us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Look at verse 6. Wilt thou not revive us again? Why should we be revived? He tells us that thy people may rejoice in thee. Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But look at the charge. But let them not turn again to folly. Dear Heavenly Father, bless the reading of your word. Hide us behind the cross. Help us today, God. Give us old-fashioned revival, Lord. May this week be a week, dear friend, a God of deep conviction and challenge, but may it also be a week of change, God, that we had become more like you and less like us. Help us now. Save the lost. Lord, draw that backslider back to you, dear God, and revive us again. And all of his people said, amen. I want to tell you, I believe there's nothing that is more precious to a church than an old-fashioned, Holy Ghost, God-sent, devil-chasing, sin-killing revival. Amen? Boy, I tell you, some of y'all are looking mighty droopy today. You say, what do you mean? I believe if there's anything that'll do, dear friend, more good for the spiritual welfare of a church, dear friend, I believe it's an old-fashioned revival. You say, what does revival mean? You take that little word revival. It's a three-letter word or three-syllable word. Re means again, R-E, again. Everybody say again. So he tells us, turn us. That implies that we have turned in an opposite direction of where we ought to be going. How many of you know that in this age that we live in right now, with all the uncertainties, dear friend, it's easy to get our eyes on all of the circumstances and on all the situation, on all the gloom and doom, and get turned in the wrong direction. But how many of you know, dear friend, that he's a God of compassion that will turn us again if we will ask him to? So re means again. Vive, V-I-V, means to come alive. Man, I want to tell you, I don't know if you know it or not, the last few months and years have taken life out of people. My mother went home to be with the Lord December the 18th this past year as a result of complications to COVID. We buried her on December the 21st and I didn't get to see her. She died in the hospital in 2 weeks. We didn't get to see her, didn't get to talk to her, didn't get to be with her. And I'm going to tell you, dear friend, I've had to battle that and I've had to stay on my knees before God and ask him to keep pumping the life in me because it's taken life out of me, dear friend, of what we've had to go through. But how many of you know an old-fashioned revival, dear friend, hey, can give us mouth-to-mouth resuscitation by the Holy Spirit of God? You say, well, you ain't got to holler about it. I know you ain't got to take a bath either, but it feels pretty good to get in the shower. Re means again, vive, V-I-V means to come alive. The A-L of that is all, dear friend, which means all of us. How many of you know you're the only Jesus some people's ever going to see? Are they seeing a dead one or are they seeing a live one? Amen. I want to tell you, we need revival. And he said, will thou not? That's a question. Will thou not revive us again, O God? Let me tell you, God hadn't changed. He said, I'm the same yesterday, I'm the same right now, and if the sun rises in the east and the wind sets in the west tomorrow, he said, I'll be the same tomorrow. So if God's not changed, dear friend, the question is, will we allow him to revive us again? You say, well, I don't need nothing. Yeah, you do. You need him. I don't know about you. I need revival. I want revival. I sort of get tired of meetings, don't you? Meetings, dear friend, that's wonderful. I've been in some good meetings. I've been in some meetings to where it changed people for a few days, maybe a week. But I'm talking about coming alive in a way that it changes us for the rest of our lives. Revival. Take that word, revival. Let's just break that word down. Can I do that? Everybody say revival. Everybody say R. Well, y'all ain't going to make no pirates, I can tell you that. Everybody say R. R. look over at your neighbor and say, makes me want to hunt for treasure. You say, what do you mean? I need the R of revival to repair my testimony. Anybody here that's ever been saved, ever messed up after you got saved? Amen. Now the Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that tells me this, if we've sinned and come short of the glory of God, then we've hurt our testimonies. I remember when I was about 17, 16, 70 years old, I had my car. I'd come home, I'd clean up, take a bath. If I didn't have time to take a bath, I'd take a COD bath. How many of y'all know what them are? That's cologne over dirt. I'd take a bath and I'd get cleaned up and I'd come walking through the house. My daddy'd be laying on the couch or sitting on the couch reading a newspaper, and he'd flop that newspaper down and he said, where are you going, son? And I said, what makes you think I'm going anywhere? He said, I could smell that high karate for a half a block. Got to have a little age on you to remember a high karate. Amen. Sort of like Old Spice, ain't it? And I'd say, well, I thought I'd go to town. And I thought I'd just have, he says, and here's what he'd tell me before I'd leave. He'd say, don't forget who you are. You see, we need the R of revival to repair our testimony, because I'm sure that there's been times in all of our lives that we have forgotten who we were and who we belonged to. How many of you know that we should not bring reproach upon Him? And when we mess our testimonies up, dear friend, we not only hurt ourselves, we hurt our church family, but most of all, we hurt the one who died for us. I need that R of revival. The psalmist said this in Psalms 119 in verse 2. He said, blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with their whole heart. Somebody said, well, I love Jesus and I'm saved, but there's other things in my life that's important too. You see, if you really give Him your whole heart, He'll affect your testimony in every facet and area of your life. You say, now, wait a minute, I'm a businessman and what I do in business has no bearing, has no relationship on me being a Christian. Well, I want to tell you, then here's the deal. You're forgetting who you are, because if you're really saved, dear friend, and you're really one of His children, He affects you in your business thinking. He affects you in your business dealings. He affects you in every area of your life. And I want to tell you, we need that R of revival, because we've forgotten at times who we are, and we need that testimony repaired. Look over at your neighbor and say, I got a feeling he's going to preach today. What did Hebrews chapter 11, that's the hall of faith. If you look at the hall of faith, then who made the hall of faith? Those people, dear friend, that had made the hall of faith, some of them didn't have a good testimony until they met the Lord. And then after they met the Lord, they had a great testimony. If you look in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, you'll find a man by the name of Enoch. We know that Enoch was one of the only two people that was translated and did not have to see death. Dear friend, why? Because he was so close to God. Well, let me just read it for you. Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Why? And was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Whew. Now, Abraham had a testimony. He believed God. Paul had that testimony in Acts chapter 27 on a ship in the middle of a storm. He said, I'm telling you, sirs, I believe God. I want to ask you today, have you stopped believing God? Have you stopped believing He said, I'll never leave thee, I'll never forsake thee, I'll go with you even to the end of this world? Have you stopped believing that? Have you stopped believing? He said, I speak peace unto you little ones. He said, in this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Have you stopped believing that? We need the hour of revival to repair our testimonies. Then I thought about this. We need the E of revival. Everybody say E.
E.
We need the E of revival to open our eyes that we might see clearly. How many of you know the devil is a master of disguise? He wants to disguise things, dear friend, being one way when in actuality they're not that way at all. And that's the reason we need our eyes open. Look at what Revelation chapter 3 and verse 18 said. He said, I'll counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Look what he says to do. Anoint thy eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. How many of you remember, I see some young folks in there, y'all probably ain't gonna remember. How many of you remember black salve? Any of you? It was called a drawing salve, wasn't it? And you could get a cut on you and that thing get infected, and you could slap that black salve on there and put you a bandage over the top of that thing, and the next morning, you better get ready to see some junk. Amen? Because it would draw out the impurities, dear friend, that was in that cut. Listen, we need revival, dear friend. Why? We need that eye salve, dear friend, to anoint and be placed on our heart to draw out the dross that's in our lives and the impurities to where we can become more like Him and less like us. I've always sung Southern gospel music. I've got a daughter that's 41 years old, and buddy, she can sing Southern gospel. She was cut and dried on Southern gospel, but she sings contemporary worship music, and a lot of people don't like that, and some of that, I guess they'll feel out of place in heaven one day, but she sings all of that stuff, and there is one of those songs that she'll sing, and I'll try to help her sing, and she'll look over at me and smile like, okay, Dad. Just do the best you can. But I love that song. I love what the message of it implies. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Do you really want to see Him? I mean, do you want to see Him? What did the song imply? It said, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. You see, when this heart gets opened up, dear friend, and I start getting this part of it right, then it affects these eyes, it affects these hands, it affects my feet, it affects my mouth, and when you get that eye salve applied in the right place and get the filth drawn out of our life, we see more clearly. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up. Shining what? In the light of what? Your glory. Boy, well, I don't know about you, but I'm tired of COVID. I'm tired of hearing COVID. I'm tired of all that, man. I want to see Him high and lifted up. I want to see His glory. I want to smell His aroma, dear friend, blooming like the rose of Sharon. Amen. We need the E of revival to open our eyes. Then let me say, we need the V of revival to vex our pride. You say, what do you mean? How many of you know pride keeps us from much joy? Would you agree with that? You say, are you sure about that, Brother Randy? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 and 16 had this to say. Love not the world, neither the things that are in this world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, get this now, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of this world. Proverbs, and we don't like to quote it all that much, Proverbs in chapter 16, verse 18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Amen. I tell you, there's no place in a revived heart for pride. Amen. Now the Bible said we should prefer our brethren. So none of us has got a reason to walk around with our nose stuck up in the air like we're better than somebody. Amen. I went to a church not long ago, matter of fact, and there was a young man come walking in, and he is tattooed up, had short sleeves on, and they call it sleeves. And he had him sleeve all the way up through there. And boy, you could see that crowd, half of that crowd, when they seen him coming, they turned their nose up at him, wouldn't even say hello to him, wasn't nothing else. You say, well, the Bible said don't mark your body. I know what the Bible says. But dear friend, I want to tell you something. He also said, I give you a new commandment, and this new commandment's going to be greater than all the other commandments that you had. And that this commandment is the greatest and greater than them all, that is that you love one another. Can I tell you? The world will mark people up. Hello. Sin will mark people up. I don't care if they got nose rings, ear rings, eye rings, dear friend, whatever rings they got. Dear friend, hey, well, I'm to love them no matter why, not put myself above them. You say, why? Because, dear friend, if I'm the only Jesus some of them's ever going to see, they need to see a Jesus, dear friend, that'll love them past their flesh. Would you agree with that? Aren't you glad that he loved you past your flesh? You say, well, I ain't never marked my body up. No, but you may have defiled your temple by putting alcohol in it and drugs in it and everything else. That may have been concealed and you may have been able to keep that a secret. But honey, I've got news for you. It was still sin and God sees it all. But aren't you glad he's able to forgive it? Dear friend, if they could just meet somebody that would give them Jesus instead, dear friend, of straightening them out. Amen. Pride. We need the via of revival to vex that. Look over at your neighbor and say, we're almost halfway home. We might get out before 12:30. I need the eye of revival. Everybody say, I. I. Now listen to that. Everybody say, I. Look over at your neighbor and say, he's talking to me. Because me is I. I need the eye of revival to inflame my heart. I don't know about you, but I need stirring up. I need fired up. How many of you know that most professional ball teams now, they have great motivational speakers? You know what they do? They pay them a lot of money to come in and give a speech that's going to fire those players up and make them feel like that they could do the impossible. How many of you know God's already done the impossible, but we've quit talking about it? Amen. Most of us has done adapted that song, that old hee-haw song. gloom, despair, and agony on me, deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. I need firing up. I need somebody to tell me about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Dear friend, that wouldn't bow, and they wouldn't bend, and thank God they didn't burn. Amen. And they were thrown into a furnace. But hey, their fourth man was walking with them in the middle of the flame. And he delivered them. Hey, if I've got that fourth man, he'll still deliver me. Oh, my God, my God. You say, yeah, well, I'm telling you, I'm not going to come back if you shout about it. Well, watch on the internet. You can watch in your pajamas and have your coffee, and when I get loud and I get happy and I get fired up, you can go check the laundry. Amen. Or turn the channel over there and watch CNN for a while. That'll fire you up. I need fired up. I need stirred up. Why? Because I need to speak up. Hello? I mean, we've been run over and run over and run over until we don't have a voice anymore. Well, listen, I know we're to be as meek as a dove, dear friend, but the truth of the matter is we should stand united in strength and fired up about what's right in the Lord's eyes. What did Paul say? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. He said, I put you in remembrance that ye stir up the gift of God which is in thee. Anybody here saved? Anybody here happy about it?
Amen.
Anybody excited about it?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Well, you're to notify your face every now and then. Takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. Amen. I mean, if we're saved and we're excited and we're fired up about the Lord and we know He's in us, I won't ever forget. I was preaching a message one night. A little girl come up to me after church. She said, can I ask you a question? I said, what? And she says, how big is God? I said, huh? I said, well, how big are you? And she said, my mama says I'm 52 inches tall. First thing I thought was, oh, gosh, she's almost tall as I am. I did. I said, are you sure? And she said, my mama says that. It's got to be true. And I said, okay. I said, well, if you're 52 inches tall, God is 6 foot tall. She said, that's 72 inches. I said, that's right. I said, so if you're 52 inches, he's 6 foot tall or taller. Her eyes got about that big around. She stepped back to me and looked at me. And she said, are you sure? I said, that's what the Father said. And she said, wow. I said, what are you wowing about? She said, well, if I'm 52 inches and God is 6 foot tall and he's living inside my heart, he ought to stick out on me somewhere, shouldn't he, preacher? Out of the mouth of babes. Can I tell you, if we're inflamed and we're on fire for God, dear friend, and he's living inside us, he ought to stick out on us somewhere. He ought to stick out more than just when we're in the church sanctuary. He ought to stick out when we're in the parking lot. He ought to stick out on us when we're in Walmart. He ought to stick out on us when we're in one of these restaurants. Dear friend, why? Dear friend, why? He said, so let your light so shine. Look over at your neighbor and say, boy, he's serious. He said that you stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love of a sound mind. Here you go. Be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Hello. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I need the eye of revival to inflame my heart. I need the V of revival to void my complacencies. How many of you know we're a lot lazier than we like to admit when it comes to the things of God? Amen. You say, what do you mean? You ever seen somebody work a job for an employer? An employer need them to work overtime or need them to do a little extra or something or other, and the attitude that they can get with an employer? I'm not doing that. But that same person can quit that employer and go into business for himself doing the same exact job that he was doing with that employer, and you let him get behind because he's realized, if I get behind and I don't make this quota and I don't get this out, then I don't get paid. And if I don't get paid, mama ain't gonna be happy because she can't go to the store. Kids ain't gonna be happy because they ain't gonna have no gas in the car. So you know what that person does? Now that they realize how all of this affects them, they jump on that telephone and they call their wife and say, hey, is your mom and daddy at the house? Well, yeah, why? Well, you need to call them. Tell them we're behind. Get them over here. Tell them I'll pay them a little something. I'll take them out to eat or something. But we've got to get this out. Now we've got to burn some midnight oil or we ain't going to get paid. Hey, what about your nephew just got out of jail? I know I don't like him, but I'll work him anyhow. Just get him over here. We're laughing, but we know it's true. You know why? Because it benefits us. Hard to find good Sunday school teachers because you got to be dedicated. Hard to find good people to sing in the choir because you got to come to choir practice. Was that a gnat? A little irritating, ain't it, to hear that? But it's truth. A lot of people want to come parading in on Sunday morning, jump up in the choir, and they ain't got no idea what songs they're going to sing because they think they don't need practice. Hello. Well, I'm sure glad a doctor don't take that or a surgeon don't take that initiative before he puts you under the knife. Amen? I mean, have you ever done that surgery before? No, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. Amen. Can't find people to drive buses anymore. Dear friend, to pick up. We've quit picking up kids that's underprivileged and don't have a way to church on account of we don't have enough people, dear friend. Nobody will volunteer. Southern Baptist put out a statistics I thought was pretty alarming about 3 years ago. They said the average functioning body part of an average Southern Baptist church, which is 107 membership enrollment, the average functioning part of the average Southern Baptist church was 7.5% of its enrollmentship. What are you saying? If you got a church running 100 people, you got 7.5 people doing all the work. You think I'm wrong? You think they're wrong? I'll tell you what you do. You get actively involved in this church and you'll find out it's 7.5. And when I read that statistic, I thought, where'd they get the half at? I mean, how do you half a person? Then I got to thinking about the average church. I've been in full-time evangelism for 27 years now, fixing to turn 28 and at Christmas, and I've seen more young people on fire for God, bringing more people to the house of God than what the adults were doing. So there's your half. It's a little child that gets turned on to Jesus and they lap him up like lapping warm milk out of a bowl, a little puppy. We need the V of revival to void our complacency. There ain't a person in this building. I want to tell you, Yesterday, when we were waiting on the doctors to call, and to, you know, most time they don't give those readings out over the weekend. We were waiting and waiting and waiting, and finally got a hold of the doctor and waiting on him to call and everything. I knew Brother Billy was coming back on a trip up there from seeing the ark, and people were, I knew he was going to be late getting here. But I actually stood there a minute and I thought, you know what, this is ridiculous. I'll just call him and say, you know what, I ain't heard anything. Therefore, we're not going to be able to come until we do. But you know, the minute that we got the okay, that everything was good, you know what was in my heart? Was to get here. Amen. 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 You say, why? You say, well, you're going to get paid for me. That has nothing to do with me. I want to tell you, I preach when I don't get paid. I got to preach in a Mormon church once, and they didn't pay me. Paid me no attention, too. Amen. You say, well, what are you getting at, preacher? I'm telling you why I do the things I do. Because the doctor told me that the best that I'm probably looking at life is 8 to 10 years, and that was 3 years ago. If they are right, if they're anywhere in the ballpark, and that expectancy of life for me is right by the doctor's eyes, thank God I've got a great physician that can trump all of that. And if I'm faithful to him, and if I'm fired up for him, and if I'm available and make myself available for his use, for his kingdom's sake, he just might add some days to my life and let me hang around a few more days. But if not, dear friend, I want to finish well, and I want to end up on this thing, dear friend, in the batter's box, still swinging at the fences rather than sitting on a pew somewhere. Amen. Amen. I need the A of revival to anoint my life. I don't know about you. This ain't a real Baptist thing. But I need God's power on my life. My little wife come up out of the Church of God. She come up out of Pentecostal church. And I get in trouble with her sometimes because I like to mimic some of her Pentecostal little friends. You know, they had one lady in their church, man. She had that beehive hairdo done up there about a foot and a half in there. Had all them little curls in it. No makeup, dress, dragging the floor. They'd get happy. That old girl would get happy in that old head, buddy. All of a sudden, she'd have one of them Holy Ghost jerks. Next day, you'd call and say, where are you at, Lorraine? She'd say, I'm at the chiropractor getting my neck adjusted. So she keeps telling me all the time, she said, you just keep on, Randy Perry. He's going to put a dose of it on you. And what you going to do when you start acting like them? I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to be happy about it. Amen. Amen. You say, why? Because I need that anointing on my life. Isaiah said this in chapter 61 and verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. What a statement. I mean, how would you like for God, dear friend, to not only write that down on the ledger that will be known as your testimony, but how would you like for everybody else, once you're gone from this life, to say, I can tell you one thing about that person. They may not have done everything perfect, but God was all over them. We need the anointing. I told somebody I'd like to be so anointed that if one of these skeeters was to light on me and sting me, he'd have to fly off singing, there's power in the blood. You say, why is the Spirit of the Lord? Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and to open the prisons to them that are bound. We've got all kind of bound people today. We've got bound people in tradition. We've got bound people in religion. Dear friend, hey, I got news for you. What they need is a good dose, dear friend, of the anointing of God, because that breaks the yoke. Amen. Somebody asked me one time, if you could choose all the characters out of the Bible, who would you want to be most like? I got to thinking on that. I thought, I'll tell you who I'd like to be like. I'd like to be like that little donkey was that took Jesus to Jerusalem. He sent his servants over, he sent his disciples over and said, go tell the master of the house, or the chief of the house, the master's asking for him. They went and they got a little old donkey that nobody had ever rode on. You know what I'd like to be like? Because he was willing to come. Some of us will go, but we'll go a kicking and a screaming and a bucking. That old donkey just willingly came, was submissive to the master's call. And when he got to where Jesus was at, he lowered himself and let Jesus get on him. Oh, woo. You say, where'd he take him? Took him to Jerusalem, to the multitude that was waiting on him. Hey, listen, that was God on his back. Wouldn't you like to be able to take God to the jailhouse and give them something? Wouldn't you like to be able to take the Lord to these hospitals right now, give them something? Amen. I've got a good friend by the name of Paul McCoy. His son was a policeman in Zephyr Hills, Florida, had a tragic accident, brain injury. They flew him up to Patricia Neal Spinal Rehab in Knoxville, Tennessee. We were off for Christmas. We had rented a cabin in Pigeon Forge. Our whole family was there. And we've all agreed, Christmas time, that's our family time. We don't run them buses and we ain't singing. We're not going out. And most of the time we just get together. But I was under a burden for him. And I told him, I said, I'm going down here to the hospital. They said, you promised that we'd all just be here for Christmas, just our family. Here you are pulling ministry in this thing again. I said, well, here's the truth of the matter. I said, yep, but by the grace of God, that'd be us sitting down there at that hospital. I said, now y'all can go with me if you want to, or you not. So I went by myself. When I walked in, that old man had been there with his son. It looked impossible things. They done told him if he lived, it'd be a vegetable. He come walking in the lobby where I was at. They had to call for me and come down to meet me. And when he seen me, he busted out crying. He said, I believe I've seen an angel today. He said, I've sat here and I've sat here for week after week after week, and all I hear is just depressing news. I took him to eat to the cafeteria. He didn't want to leave the hospital. I'm afraid he'd get that call. We went to the cafeteria and ate, and I said, I'm interested in Malachi, Brother Paul. I said, but I want to know how you doing. He's associate pastor of a church in Zephyr Hills, Florida. He's an older man, 84 years old. He broke down and he went to crying. He said, it's the first time in my life that I can't even pray. He said, I prayed the first couple of weeks. And he said, but when it just gets so far along and you get so far into it, He said, Brother Randy, have you ever been to a place where you couldn't even pray? And I reached out and got his hands. And I said, that's why God sent me today, to let my heart share with your heart that God's still on his throne. He never sleeps and he never slumbers, and he hadn't forgotten you. And he hears every time you utter his name. And I said, Brother Paul, don't you know that at the mention of Jesus' name, all the devils in hell tremble? And I said, whether your heart feels like you can pray or not, don't stop praying. Pray whenever it feels like it's going out and just falling a foot on the ground. But don't you quit. He said, would you pray with me now? Buddy, I want to tell you something right there in that cafeteria of that hospital. I went to calling on God. I didn't care who heard me. I figure if you're in the hospital, there's a lot of sick folk there, and the ones that are sitting in them cafeterias are either got people in the hospital, dear friend, or they're workers there, and they need prayer just like everybody else. And I just went to calling on God. We left that cafeteria and went up to that boy's room. We walked in that room. I'll admit to you, to see him and the shape he was in, his head swole bigger than a basketball, and they was giving just grievous outcomes as far as what was going to be. They didn't even give him a chance to live, thought he was going to die, dear friend. And I just looked at Paul and I said, let's pray, and let's pray right now. Buddy, we went to praying. I want to tell you something. God showed up and he started walking the aisles of that hospital, dear friend, and all of a sudden God, in his miraculous mercy and grace, reached down and touched Malachi. And I want to tell you something. He didn't live, dear friend. That's been over 10 years ago. He's a walking, he's a talking, he lives with his brother. Dear friend, you say, what happened? Thank God, at Christmas time, I was still under the anointing of Christ, dear friend, to where I could intercede on somebody else's behalf. And I'm no saint, I'm just saved. And I've tried to keep my life under the anointing, because you see, sure as I looked at Brother Paul's son, Malachi, I looked in that bed and realized that could have been my own daughter laying in that hospital bed. I sure would like for an anointed person to show up and help hold my hands up when I grew weary from the battle. Look over at your neighbor and say, boy, we need revival. I need the ale of revival to teach me to learn to lean on Jesus more than trust in myself. You say, what do you mean? Proverbs 3:5, what do you say? Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Older I get, the more I love that old song. Learning to lean, learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Sing it with me, church. Learning to lean, learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus.
Friends, you've been listening to the Benson Grove Baptist Hour. We pray this broadcast has been a blessing to you and that God's Word would speak to your heart throughout the week. If we can assist you, please call the church offices at 919-894-4120. We'd love to hear from you and to know that you're listening. We also invite you to attend the services at Benson Grove. The church is located on Highway 50, just 6 miles north of Benson. If you cannot attend in person, join our live internet broadcast every Sunday at 11 a.m. and again at 6:30 p.m. Just open your computer web browser to www.bensongrovebaptist.org. Choose the Sermons tab and follow the instructions on the screen. Join us for the Benson Grove Baptist Hour each Sunday afternoon from 2 to 3 p.m. right here on WCKB. God bless you and have a great day.